Welcome back to the second video teaching of understanding EKGs with Nurse Choma. Thank you for watching, and we're gonna go and get started. So hopefully you're pretty confident in the last area that we just covered, which is the basics. So with this teaching, we're gonna review sinus rhythms. All right, so it's more accurate to say sinus rhythm. So we're gonna review sinus rhythms. We're gonna talk about the causes of these rhythms, like what causes like sinus brady, sinus tachy, that kind of stuff. What are the risk factors? All right. What are the risk, like what are, you know, causes, risk factors pretty much simultaneously. We'll talk about the signs and symptoms and what you're supposed to do, right? What's the treatment? What is the interventions when it comes to sinus rhythms? So let's first go over a normal sinus rhythm. All right, so I want to just do a quick recap. So there are specific elements that make something a normal rhythm, right? Just like with all the other rhythms that you'll learn. So you want to be confident in that what those elements are. So for it to be a normal sinus rhythm, that means that the P waves are present. The QRS complexes are present, right? There's a P wave in front of every QRS complex. The R to R interval is normal, right? Like I was talking about in the last video. And it's going to be 60 to 100 beats per minute, all right? So 60 to 100 beats per minute. So that's, and then of course the PR interval is normal, right? This interval is going to be normal. So we got P waves, we got QRS complex, we got P wave for every QRS complex. Because sometimes there are abnormal rhythms where there isn't one P wave for every QRS complex. Okay. And then the R to R is going to be normal, and it's going to be 60 to 100 beats per minute. So this is a normal rhythm. So of course, no intervention is required, no treatment is required, just continue monitoring the patient. So let's talk about something called sinus arrhythmia. All right, sinus arrhythmia, also known as sinus dysrhythmia. So so let's discuss what this rhythm entails, because some people, you may not be aware of this type of rhythm, right? Or they may confuse it, but it's still a sinus rhythm. So with sinus arrhythmia, you have P waves, all right? We got the P waves. We've got QRS complexes, that's there. Our PR interval is normal, all right? That's normal. The rate of the whole beat is 60 to 100 beats per minute, right? Just like a normal sinus rhythm. But however, though, the only thing that's abnormal is the R to R, okay? That's the only thing that's abnormal. So let's look at this picture. We got, you know, our P wave, we got QRS complex, T wave, right? P wave, so we got, like with every single rhythm, we have everything present. P wave, QRS complex, T wave, and et cetera. So everything is repeating itself. But as you can see though, what's not normal is the R to R. So it's like, so the distance between here and here is the same as here, but not as here, right? Like it's pretty much fluctuating, you know, the R to R is fluctuating. Like it will be, this same will be here, but then it'll be long, then it'll be short, then it'll be long, then it'll be short, and so forth. So that's pretty much what a sinus arrhythmia or sinus dysrhythmia looks like. Everything is normal, but the R to R is abnormal, okay? The distance between the R to R changes. It's not consistent. It's irregular. So this makes it a sinus arrhythmia. Here's the thing though. This is normal. Even though it's like this, it's normal in younger patients, like young adults and teens. It may, though, be associated oftentimes with patients who have lung disorders or lung problems. So, like in older adults. So, asthma, COPD, you know. So, but the thing though, at the end of the day, it's there's no interventions. There's no treatment that's going to be required. So we're not going, so it's not going to cause them to have chest pain and shortness of breath and that kind of stuff. It's not going to do all that. So we're just gonna, it's, we still treat it like a normal rhythm, right? There's no treatment that's involved. Okay. So that's sinus arrhythmia. So just make sure that you don't confuse it with anything else. Everything is there. The only thing that's abnormal is just the RR. Okay. Then you have sinus bradycardia, right? Or sinus brady. So with sinus brady, everything is present, right? We got the P waves, that's there, right? Just like here, we got P waves. We got our QRS complex, right? There's a P wave for every QRS complex, so there's a P wave in front of that. The PR interval is normal. The QRS complex is normal as far as the time frame. But the only thing that's different is the fact that the overall beat is under 60 beats per minute, right? The overall beat is under 60 beats per minute. That's sinus bradycardia. So typically what you would do to know the overall beat, I mean, you can tell just by looking at this without having the full 10-second strip. But you would pretty much count how many beats there are in a 10-second strip, and then that would tell you, how many beats it is, as far like how many beats it is. So if I count as six in a 10-second strip, that's 60 beats per minute. All right, but this situation though, for this one, like I said, you can tell it's very slow, right? Like the distance in between the R to R is so wide, even though it's consistent though, but it's so wide and longer. So you can tell, that this is obviously a sinus bradycardia rhythm. So here's the thing about sinus brady. It can also be normal, right? Especially in athletes. So here's the reason why that is. So with athletes, they have like the way their body is, as far as their cardiovascular system, blood flow is so efficient where they don't need to pump, they, sorry, they don't, their heart doesn't need to beat as many times in order for it to deliver enough blood throughout the rest of the body. You see that? So they have great cardiac output. Right? They have really good cardiac output. So they don't need to bump, they don't need to beat as fast because they have like literally the blood is so efficient now where it doesn't need to beat as fast in order for it to get adequate tissue perfusion and so forth throughout the body. Okay? So totally normal in athletes. It can, other causes though, it can be heart disease, right? So heart disease, that can be a common cause. Electrolyte imbalance, right? That can be a really common, like, so having low electrolytes, that can cause sinus bradycardia. Prescription medications, that's a very common one, especially, for example, beta blockers, right? Beta blockers will definitely cause sinus bradycardia because the side effect is that it's going to lower the heart rate. Drug abuse, so there are some, illicit drugs that can cause sinus bradycardia. Sinus sick syndrome. Patients who have endocrine issues such as hypothyroidism, that can definitely cause. Because remember, the thing about hypothyroidism is that everything goes down, right? Everything is low. They're more tired, they're fatigued, they have constipation, right? So sinus bradycardia absolutely can be a symptom with patients who have hypothyroidism. So what do we do about it? So the biggest thing is like, first and foremost, if they're asymptomatic, you don't need to do anything, right? We don't have, there's no treatment is required. So if their heart rate is 50 beats per minute, and you know they're not in any distress, they're not having problems breathing, no, there's no, we don't need to do anything, okay? Now, otherwise though, if we recognize that the heart rate is low, and you're right, it's getting really low, and they're on, for example, beta blockers, then we're going to tell the physician, and likely the doctor is going to do what? They're probably going to just either discontinue the order or decrease the amount. You know, so like let's say for example they're on Lopressor or Metoprolol, 50 milligrams PO, let's say BID or something, or well, usually it's going to be daily. So the doctor's like, you know what, let's cut that in half to 25, right? Because now they're beginning to become, the heart rates are beginning to come too low because of, you know, because of the medication. So treating the underlying cause is the is always going to be the most specific and best treatment for the patient. And then if they are, so let's say they have the sinus bradycardia and they are symptomatic. So the symptomatic would look like they're having shortness of breath, they're complaining of chest pain, they're dizzy, they're lightheaded, they're fatigued, they sweaty. Those are all symptoms of sinus bradycardia. So how we're going to treat this, the number one, we're going to treat it by giving something called atropine. Atropine is the drug of choice. It's the most effective. It's the first line of treatment. So we're going to give them atropine. And atropine is going to be given IV, IV push. And of course, it's going to be given by only a registered nurse. Okay? So atropine is going to be given. That's our first choice. Now, let's say if the atropine doesn't work or they're contraindicated to, they're allergic to atropine, then we're going to do epinephrine. Okay? Not all at the same time. I'm just, like it's just progressively, if one does not work, then we can give them epinephrine. If the epinephrine doesn't work, then we're gonna do dopamine. Okay, so that's typically how we respond. So you want to remember that, all right? Atropine for sinus brady. All right, that's the first line of treatment. That's the most. That's so aside from treating the underlying cause, that's the best way to respond if a patient is symptomatic, right? Because think about it, if somebody has showing this rhythm and they're in front of you, right? You got to visualize it. If they're in front of you and they're you know sweating and shortness of breath, the correct response is not going to be, you know, well, let's just wait a little bit. No, they're dying, like they're not doing well. So we need to intervene immediately. Let's go and get them atropine IV. Okay, let's see if that's going to help this help the patient bring up their heart rate. Okay, so the next one, another sinus rhythm is, so sinus tachycardia, that's a sinus rhythm. And then the SVT is not, is SVT is also sinus, but it's more abnormal than it is sinus. So sinus tachycardia, what does this look like? So we're going to see the P waves are present, there's Q, the QRS complexes are present, R to R is regular, PR interval is normal, right? But the only thing that's off is the rate, right? So the rate is really fast. So with sinus tachycardia, we're going to see 100 to 150 beats per minute. All right, so let's count this one, right? So over here we see how, let's see how many this is. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12. So over a 10 second strip, this would be 120 beats per minute. Okay? So that's what a sinus tachycardia will look like. So if a patient had SVT, right? If that SVT, that would entail that it would be greater than 150 beats per minute. All right. So typically with sinus tachycardia, we do want to respond. We do want to do something about it, you know, and respond sooner than later. Okay. So this image is sinus tachycardia. So what are some of the causes of sinus tachycardia? Well, the first one, a big one, is infection, big time. Because here's why, right? When patients have an infection, whether it's like pneumonia, cellulitis, whatever it is, the heart naturally responds by working harder. That's how it does it, by working harder and trying to compensate, right? Because here's the thing, infection, like bacteria, all that kind of stuff, what it does, it requires more white blood cells. It literally is like, imagine it's kind of like draining, and affecting like the blood volume. So as a result, the body's gonna compensate by increasing the heart rate. All right. So infection is a big time cause for sinus tachycardia. Also, some medications such as beta agonists, right? Dobutamine, that's a big cause for sinus tachycardia. Another one that's not on here that's very common actually is beta adrenergics, or like albuterol. Patients who are on albuterol, like I've seen on many times, where they're admitted to the hospital, they have asthma, and we start them on albuterol, and it's the RT giving it, and it's every 6 hours that they're getting it, and then now their heart rate is 136 or something, and they have no history of heart problems, nothing else that can cause it. But it's the albuterol, the side effect of the albuterol, that's causing it. So at that point, the best treatment is to stop the albuterol or to decrease the frequency, right? So that's why knowing the cause is really huge. Alcohol can cause sinus tachycardia. Patients who have hyperthyroidism for sure, right? Because remember, we so we with hyperthyroidism, everything goes up now. All right. So patients who have hyperthyroidism can definitely be a cause of sinus tachycardia. And then also patients who have congestive heart failure, all right, this can be also sinus tachycardia as well. Okay, this can be sinus tachycardia as well, or can cause it as well. So how do we treat it? So here's the thing. This over here, this is SVT. This one is because it's more there. If you count this, which I already did, it's 19 beats per minute, which is 190 beats. Sorry, it's 19. So it's 190 beats per minute. Okay. So that's SVT, right? That's SVT now. So the biggest thing when we're looking at treatment between sinus tachycardia and SVT, it's like, when it's ST or sinus tachy, our biggest thing is that we want to treat the underlying cause first. That's usually the best, most accurate. Then after that, if that's not working, then we're going to give them beta blockers. So we'll let one of the most ideal beta blockers we'll give is metoprolol, which is also known as Lopressor. Oftentimes we'll give it IV, right? Like IV push metoprolol, which you can do actually, as long as they're on a heart monitor. So we'll give them beta blockers for sinus tachycardia. Now, if it's SVT, which is more serious, right? And now they are, complaining of chest pain, like they feel like they're having palpitations because their heart's moving so fast. So first thing, if they are conscious, right? If they're alert, we're gonna have them do vagal maneuvers. All right, so vagal maneuvers is pretty much where we tell them to bear down as if they're going to the bathroom. That actually causes the I can't give you the specific patho, but like when we're pushing down, it actually does lower the heart rate. I've seen patients on who are on the toilet, literally on the toilet, going number two. And then their heart rate went down and they literally became unconscious on the toilet. And that's another story though. But vagal maneuvers do work. If it doesn't work, then we're gonna respond and give them something called adenosine. All right, adenosine IV push, 12 milligrams, which once again will be given by an RN. So we're going to give them idinosin 12 milligrams IV push. I believe we can give it up to 3 times, and bring that heart rate down. Here's the thing about it: when we give it, if it's going to feel kind of like, sometimes it may feel like a burning feeling, or it may feel like something like it, like the patient may say that it feels like they can literally feel the medication as we're giving it. So anyways, with adenosine, that's our first line of treatment for SVT. That's our first choice of treatment after the vagal maneuvers, if they're conscious. Then we're gonna give them adenosine. All right. And usually that does work. All right. And then addition, of course, figure out what's going on. Another method actually that's not on here, but it's not really used by the RN. It's something called carotid massage. Carotid massage. We're literally, it's more used by the physician though. I don't recommend you doing this as the nurse. But it's literally where they massage the carotid, and that also helps to lower the heart rate. Okay. So our first treatment is have them do the vagal maneuvers, and then we're gonna give them adenosine. Okay. For SVT. For ST, we're gonna give them beta blockers. All right. Okay, so a quick recap. We went over the sinus rhythm. So we talked about sinus arrhythmia. Well, first we reviewed the normal sinus rhythm again. Then also sinus arrhythmia, right? What that is, as well as sinus dysrhythmia. Then we talked about sinus bradycardia, sinus tachycardia, SVT. We went over the causes, the risk factors, what are the signs and the symptoms, right? What were we supposed to see for these patients, if anything? And then also, how do we respond, right? What's the treatment? Okay, so that's pretty much it. And I will see you in the next video teaching. Hey, did you enjoy that EKG training? Did you enjoy the audio? I'm sure you probably were wondering, like, man, I wish I could also see this visually. Well, if so, I want to encourage you to go ahead and click below this episode, and you can actually download my freebie called Understanding EKG's Freebie Guide. And you can download that right away, and that will give you some visual perspective. It's a download, it's a PDF, and since you put your name and email address in, you'll get immediately the download sent to your email. And then along with the login link. And then if you really wanted the full thin, like you want the whole video training where I go over this topic in way more detail, it's in our you get access to our membership portal, and you can just really go dive in depth with EKGs. Then also click below the video or click below this episode to access my Understanding EKGs course. And this course, you will love this course. I literally have people that have told me they went from not knowing anything about EKGs and feeling like they had no clarity, not understanding how it works, and afterwards they knew how to interpret it smoothly and easily just from going through this course. So if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then make sure that you go below this episode so you can enroll today into our EKGs course. Thank you so much for listening to that episode. I hope that you truly enjoyed it. I hope that you learned something, you took something away, or if it was hopefully eye-opening or if it encouraged you. I really hope that you enjoyed it. Once again, if you haven't already, you can always visit our website, which is choosenursing.net. And I want to talk to you for a brief moment. Are you somebody where you have been trying to pass your NCLEX exam? If you've been struggling for quite some time now and you don't know what to do, you don't know what you're doing wrong or how to do things differently, then I definitely want to encourage you to join our School of the NCLEX program. This is a very in-depth school-like setting where we meet virtually, and we have twice per week classes. You get access to our online portal. There's also one-on-one sessions in addition to teachings, and we do practice questions together. It's like night classes, but it's also very intimate. So if you want to learn more about the program, if you just click below this episode, you can find out more details about all about it and how you can become a part of it. And then if you are somebody where you're either in nursing school or you already got your license, you have other things that you're trying to work on, then definitely visit our website, choosingnursing.net, for some of our other resources. Thank you. Make sure that you hit the subscribe to our channel here so you can get that way you can know when I release another episode. See you the next time.